Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to just say quickly is that we're going to introduce our theme because, you know, the theme for the month is Way of the Brave. And we are perfectly going to line up with that theme because it's interesting to know that the early church Christians were known as the people of the way. So I think when Pastor Adrian started early this year to say, you know, this month will be the way of worship, this month will be the way of, you know, and now the way of the brave, he's perfectly, you know, lining up with how Christians were called in the first century. And, you know, when we're looking at this word brave, which we're going to talk about just now, commentaries interchange, you know, the word brave with the word courageous. We're going to talk about adverse circumstances and how that your covenant with God is going to bring you through adverse circumstances. Amen. We're going to introduce that to you, but first my wife's going to read something here.
Okay, so being brave is not the absence of fear, it's the courage to be vulnerable. So there was a covenant in place from Abraham, from the time of Abraham, that God made with his people. A covenant with Abram, and then it went over into his son, Isaac, Jacob. In fact, God told him that I'm making a covenant with you and your generations to come. So it was Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and then Joseph had two sons named Manasseh and Ephraim. Each generation went through adverse circumstances, yet God was faithful. This family line of Abram is called the patriarchs in the Bible. Abram, his adverse situation was he was asked to sacrifice his son, the one son that they've been waiting for so long, the one son through whom God said he's going to bless him and bless the nations of the world. God's asking Abram to sacrifice him in Genesis 22. Abram, Isaac, and Jacob faced famines throughout their lifetimes. Isaac in his lifetime obeyed God. He dug wells and God blessed him. Jacob was known as a deceiver. Even before Jacob was born, he was already busy with his trickery. And Joseph was the beloved son. Joseph came from a marriage of two people that in the Bible, they are called the love story of the Bible. Joseph was known for his coat of many colors. Joseph had brothers who hated him, yet he didn't do anything to them. Joseph had his experience in the pit. He had his experience in the prison. And through all of this, Joseph remained faithful. And God took him to the palace. And then Joseph had two sons named Manasseh and Ephraim.
So what we're looking at this morning is the covenant of God in adverse circumstances. First of all, what is the purpose of adverse circumstances? Everybody in life goes through adverse circumstances. They say the longer you live, the chances are good you're going to have your own set of circumstances, situations that you are going to face, you're going to go through. So I want to go back a little step first, and I want to tell you that the definition of bravery and courage, okay? Max Lucado says that an important quality of grace is to be courageous, to be brave. Somebody else said, they say that bravery is about facing your set of circumstances in spite of the fear you have or without the fear. So many circumstances we face in life, you know, we go through, we don't see that our families may have, our parents from another generation may have experienced them before. And we are now going through this as well. God has given us opportunities to understand the purpose of adverse circumstances. So as my wife started off with Abraham, let me say something about Abraham. Abraham is called the father of our faith. He is called the first patriarch that God called from a heathen background. And Abraham was known as a man of altars. He built four altars. Why would you need to go to an altar in times of your life? Why would you have more than one altar to go to? Because you know I'm going to face adverse circumstances. Something is coming tomorrow, amen? Something is coming next week. Something is coming next month. God knows about it before you get there. Hallelujah. You know, something hits our lives. We like go into a panic and you're like, whoa, what is this? What must I do? What am I supposed to do? How is God going to help me? God has been there before you got there. That's why Abram built himself altars to prepare himself for what was coming. Hallelujah. Prepare yourself for what comes in your life by building your faith. Hallelujah. I like the way that T.D. Jakes' daughter puts it. She says, every time God does a miracle in your life, he does it to build credit for your faith. Because he knows where he's taking you to. You're saying this is something great God has done. Yes, then pause a moment. Enjoy it. You know, celebrate it. Say, God, man, I really love you for what you've done. Because your moment of celebration is going to create a memory for what you're going to go through tomorrow. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand this morning. Our miracles we experience in God builds credit for our faith. Because God knows where he's taking you. And your destiny might be different to mine. And mine might be different to somebody else's. But prepare yourself, because the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for the devil, your adversary, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen?
Amen. So in Psalm 78, which is what I would like to speak about, we learn something crucial about the tribe of Ephraim. I read to you just now the lineage up till the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim was the tribe that was always armed and had weapons ready for battle. But Psalm 78 says a shocking thing about this tribe. In the day of battle, they were armed. In fact, some translation says they were armed to the teeth. They were armed with weapons and ready to fight, but they chose to turn back. So they were armed on the outside. But on the inside, somehow, it seemed like they had forgotten the covenant that God made with their forefathers. Because Ephraim was also the tribe that when Jacob blessed his own sons, he called Joseph's sons because Joseph had been gone from the family for so long. And Jacob's heart was so broken for so many years. He had believed that his son was dead. And then he met Joseph again. And when he called on his deathbed, when he called his sons to bless them, as was customary, he said to Joseph, bring me your two sons. So Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, were blessed together with their uncles. So look at this blessing that God gave to Ephraim. And as if that wasn't enough, when Jacob blessed them, although his eyes was dim already, he crossed his hands, and instead of giving Manasseh, which is the firstborn's rights, he gave it to Ephraim. So Ephraim had a double portion blessing. Ephraim, when they came to the inheritance and the allotment of the inheritance, Ephraim received the biggest piece of land. And later on, we'll hear how Ephraim, the land that Ephraim was on, was the same land where the Ark of the Covenant was, in Shiloh. But yet, Psalm 78 says, so I'm just going to read, and I'm like Elder Lenore, my glasses works now and then. Psalm 78 says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. So God is not asking us to just, you know, yeah, by the way. He says, incline, because you're going to need this in the future. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony, a covenant in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. So you might ask, so why did God have to give them a law? Because they were distinct. They were his people. They were not supposed to live by the laws of the world. They had their own laws to live by, which is God's laws. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. Who should arise and declare them to their children. So we must listen here. Even our children, you have to listen what God is saying. That you must incline your ear. As parents, we have to teach our children the ways of the Lord. It is our responsibility. That our children might arise and declare them to their children. Our children cannot tell their children what they don't know. That they might set their hope in God. Why must we do that? So that they, for themselves, might set their hope in God. It's one thing for me to serve God, but God does not have grandchildren. He wants my children to serve him as well. And it's my responsibility as a steward over my children to teach them the ways of God. But so that they can keep his commandments and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, this double portion blessing children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. They made a choice to refuse and forget his works and his wonders that he had shown them.
So as we're looking this morning at Ephraim, remember that Ephraim's father is Jacob, you know? And if I might just clarify things here, please, we're not speaking about the Jacobs. I got official permission from Pastor Adrian and Pastor Janine to mention Jacob. So Jacob is known in the Word of God as the supplanter, the deceiver. But let me say to you that the principle of God's Word is what you sow, you will reap. And yeah, if we look at Abram's life, for example, God tests him. We see just now the purpose of adverse circumstances. God tests him to let him take his son that he waited 25 years for and put him on an altar. And just when Abram picked up the knife and he was about to, you know, because Isaac asked him, but dad, there's the altar, there's the hood, but where's the sacrifice? And Abram says, the Lord will provide. What Abram was doing was in his heart, he was praying, my God, I hope you save the son. You know, I hope you save my son. You're going to have to resurrect him from the dead if you are a righteous God, because how can you ask me to do something like this? And as Abram took the knife and he was about to, the angel of the Lord said, stop, Abram. Stop, Abram, for now I know. You know what the principle of that is? Is that when God knows in your heart that you want to obey him, then he tells you to stop. It's fine. You don't have to do the physical act. Amen? Because in God's eyes, you've done what he told you to do. You see, the devil has this thing where he tempts you before it gets in your heart. He wants you to stop it in your heart from obeying God. God says, if I see your heart, then everything is fine. Hallelujah. Then I know you will be trusted. Amen. I can trust you. And you know what the Bible says in Genesis 17 about Abraham? God says, for I know Abraham, he will command his family, his children after me. Can God trust you with your children this morning? Isaac, it's amazing. We spoke about altars. Isaac built altars. And he had his time that he met with God. He was in a famine, and God says to him, as we heard with tithes and offerings this morning, he wants to go to Egypt because he's facing a famine. God says, no, you don't go to Egypt because I don't live in circumstances. Oh, come on, hallelujah. I don't live in situations, amen. I live in spite of, amen. And God shows him that he blesses him 100-fold in a time of famine. So much so, the Philistines told him, please just go from us, because you are mightier than we are. Are you in a famine this morning? God is about to teach you how to trust him, amen? How to know he can promote you in spite of the situation, amen? He can bless you in spite of your famine, hallelujah. So adverse circumstances will teach us life's lessons. Then we come to Jacob, and this is where my wife is now talking about the children of Jacob. Jacob firstly starts off as this deceiver, and then he goes, and now he has to run from his brother because he stole his brother's birthright. We know the story, right? He ends up at his uncle Laban. Do you know that when he ends up at his uncle Laban, the Bible talks about this beautiful love story of Jacob and Rachel meeting at the well. You know, I can identify with that, you know. You think we are just talking about, you know, in general about love at first sight. Love at first sight is biblical, for those who didn't know it, amen. It comes out right there in Jacob and Rachel and says, and when Jacob saw Rachel, he just loved her. Come and say amen if you believe in it. So the Bible says immediately after that, obviously he asks, you know, for Rachel, and, you know, Rachel's father says, you'll work for me for 7 years. I could identify with that. Because from the first time that I met my wife till the time we got married was 7 years. You ask me, how was it? I can't tell you. Adverse circumstances. But we are here today, amen? I almost said Jacob and Rachel, but let's not go there as well. So here we have the next thing that happens is when they are given, when Rachel is supposed to be given to him after 7 years, he gets deceived. The question is now, when he approaches Laban, he says, but what happened here? How did you do that? How can you give me, you know, her sister instead of her? Now, you know, my wife made a couple of notes the other day in the week, and I was shocked at what she wrote down these notes, because I woke up at about 6 after 6, and she was writing through the night, you know? And that's what tag teams can do, Pastor Janine. So, you know, in her notes, she writes, what did Rachel experience when that happened? How did she feel the deceit of her father? How can she be so deceived by her own parent? And how did she feel after that? My sister has now taken my husband. What am I supposed to do? And yet her heart stays pure. Her heart stays pure, so pure that Joseph inherits the spirit that Rachel had. Because when Joseph starts going through his adverse circumstances, his brothers betray him, and then he's in a pit, and then he's in Potiphar's house, and he's persecuted, and then he's in a prison, he doesn't get bitter. He doesn't get offended. He doesn't turn on God. How many of you turn on God when things go bad? When things go bitter? How many of you turn back and say, this cannot be God, there's no ways. I didn't sign up for this. But Joseph's heart remains pure. The Bible says in Psalm 105, the word of the Lord tried Joseph and tested Joseph. Has your heart been tried and tested by the word of the Lord in the middle of a pit, in the middle of Potiphar's house, the slave trader, in the middle of a prison? Are we here this morning? I hope you're not coming on too strong this morning, because it's getting hot here in the front, but I hope it's not getting too hot there by you. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:24, what a beautiful scripture. If your strength fails in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That's why we need a covenant God. That's why we need a covenant God. Hallelujah. Come on, that's why we need a covenant God. Hallelujah. Come on, we need a covenant God. Come on, let him know that he's your covenant God this morning. I can feel that, you know, the presence of the Lord is just wonderful here this morning. God likes it when we talk about covenant. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord loves it when we talk about covenant.
Amen. So there's a purpose to pain. Because even the patriarch family, the patriarch covenantal family that we are supposed to learn from, each one of them experienced pain. The purpose of pain is to provoke us to courage, to bravery. And I'm sure everyone here, or most of us, will say, I am not brave. God asks us questions in adverse circumstances because God is provoking us to courage. Pain has a purpose. When we have pain in our body, that the purpose of that pain is to tell us that there's a foreign object in your body. There's something foreign that shouldn't be there. And in our soul, when we have pain in our soul, there's something foreign that shouldn't be there. Don't get used to pain. We have not been made for pain. I know pain wants to stay longer. I know pain literally numbs your thoughts. It's almost like your mind is just swarmed with all these things. Pain is trying to stay longer, whether it's in your physical body or whether it's in your soul. Because as a born-again child of God, your spirit has been recreated. You are reconnected with God. So pain cannot go into your spirit as a child of God. But pain plays games on us in our minds. So one of the titles of the Fierce 2024 podcast in the week was Calculated Risks. Yeah, so I did the business course with Pastor Nigel, so I can talk about calculated risks. I'm joking. What will be the cost of my and your decisions in about 5 generations from now? Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Ephraim. What are we going to choose? It's inevitable, as we see in the examples we use, that each generation will face adversity. We as forerunners and most of our own forefathers have been heard to say these words: I'm going to make it better for my children. I'm going to make sure my children goes to a better school. I'm going to make sure, we heard this morning in the first service, the testimony of the doctor, what her parents went through just to make sure that she gets to where she got to. Today, the God that we call God is asking us, what about me? Make sure that your children know about me. How do we see raising up a godly, a God-fearing generation? Can we take some time out of our busy schedules to prioritize verses 4 to 7 of Psalm 78? I'm just going to read verse 7 again. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works, but keep his commandments. What does my 5th generation after me look like? Or am I even thinking about them? What are the adverse situations that I'm willing to brave so that my children and my grandchildren know about my God and exactly what he did for me, for my family? Last year, my family and I had to face an adverse situation that we never thought that we would face. You see, as born-again believers, we sometimes exclude ourselves from certain things. That is not for me. I have the mind of Christ. We quote the scriptures. But deep down inside our souls, we are broken. We are finished. And yes, we should quote scriptures. We should trust in God. But there comes a time where God says, okay, now I'm going to bring that up. That thing that you didn't even know you were hiding for so long, I'm going to bring it up. For 27 days, my family had to live without me. And I had to live without them. For 27 days, I could not remember any scripture. In fact, it was a build-up from before then. And the only scripture God brought to me is Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. And I still didn't realize what had happened, what God was saying to me. Be still. You see, there's a difference between being quiet and being still. When you are still, you are at peace. At that moment, I was not at peace. At that moment, I had no song left in me. I had no scripture left in me. The pain had stayed for too long. The pain wanted to take over my life. But God. God allowed me to get to the end of myself where I, one Saturday afternoon, got a fright myself at what happened. And I went in and I found my son and I said, Joshua, I can't do this anymore. Please, come and get me. The next day, I was admitted at rehab for depression. Children of God, when God says in Isaiah 53 that Jesus, that by the stripes of Jesus we are healed, when God says in Isaiah 53 that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. It's because God wants us to be healed and God wants us to be whole. 4 years prior to this, we had to face life without my son, because my son also lived with pain that we weren't aware of. Because on the outside we can smile, and he's just trying to be this perfect son. He's the only son. He's the eldest. And he was in so much pain. He wanted to drown it with alcohol, and he wanted to numb it with drugs. And he did. And as we were going through all these things, I kept asking God, so what happened to train up your child in the way they should go? You see, there comes a time in our lives as children of God where we have to wrestle with God like Jacob. Lord, what happened? I was angry at God. What happened to train up a child? I trained him up in the way he should go. And he's old now. Does that look like he's not departing from you? I thought he was departing from God. But what God was doing is bringing up the pain that was hidden. Because you see, until something is brought to the light, God cannot work with it. God wants you to bring up that pain. Because as long as it is in darkness, the kingdom of darkness has power over it. But when it's brought to the light, the King of Lights has power over it.
Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, can I just mention to you that there's a statement somebody made and said, the power of sin is in its secrecy. David hid his sin for 9 months until the prophet Nathan came to him and told him a story. And when the prophet told him the story, he said, let that man, you know, be put to death. Let that man be put to death. We must be careful when we judge others. You might be judging yourself. And Nathan turned around, he says, but thou art the man. So when we go through circumstances and adverse circumstances, and the devil tries to turn on you, and thoughts come through you that you didn't think you'll ever think about what to do and how to do and everything, remember that you need the help of God. Hallelujah. You need to be still and know that I am God. Amen. And you know the wonderful interpretation of that scripture in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews, okay? It says, take your seat and let the Lord work. That's what it says. Be still and know that I'm God. So, you know, the miracle the Lord brought through in my wife's life, you know, in last year during that month that she was in rehab. I remember the last day, or you know, when she was there, the couple, they wanted to keep her longer. And I said to the Lord, I said, this is far enough. You know, I think it's time for her to come. You've done your work that I felt that you needed to do in her life. And to confirm what I was thinking, the same night my daughter dreamt, she says, Daddy, I dreamt. Mommy says, I've had enough now. The counseling has helped me, and now I'm at a place where I feel I can come back home. And I phoned the next day, and I said, like, come, please, she must come home. When you miss your wife, you miss your wife. Amen? Hallelujah. Only the men know what I'm talking about. Come and say amen, men. Hallelujah. And I went and I fetched her and I said, that's it, you know. And she recovered wonderfully. Amen. My son went into rehab, and after being there for the first month, I dreamt that the Lord gave me a dream that they're going to take him and they're going to train him up to be a counselor. And exactly 18 months later, he phones me one day. He says, you know what happened? He says, your dream came true. Hallelujah.
Amen. I just want to say something about that. Training up, as in Psalm 78, our children in the ways of God. So when he was, this is his own words, when he was there, while he was there, for 3 months, he refused to let God in. His own words. Because he was angry with God. He'd grown up in a house where his parents are pastors, and this is what happened to him. He was angry at God, and after the first 3 months, he said, okay, Jesus, I can't do this on my own. And he rededicated his life to the Lord. And he said, then he started seeing change. And then I realized, when I asked God, what happened to train up your child? God said to me, you did your part. Watch me do mine now.
Hallelujah. Can I say to you this morning that the moment of wrestling that Jacob went through was what changed everything? You see, when you are in adverse circumstances and you are trusting God for a breakthrough and you're going through something that you cannot explain and you don't know how to get out of it, there comes a moment when you want to wrestle with God. What is this all about? Why am I going through this? Come and deliver me. Where's your strength? Where's your power? The Bible says when Jacob wrestled with the angel, it was an aggressive wrestling, because the Bible says the angel took his bones in his hip out of joint. It broke his sinews. He walked after that with a limp. You see, when you've been wrestling with God, you come back a different man. Hallelujah. He has to change. Something has to change. Amen. And he comes back a different man. And the Bible says, God asks him a question. Can I tell you this morning, whenever God wants you to become courageous, to take on a new attitude of bravery, he's going to ask you a question. He said to Abram, Abram, is anything too hard for me? Abram's looking at his wife. God says, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have an Isaac. He looks at his wife. He thinks, no hope here, man. He looks at himself. Hey, there's no hope here, you know. God says, is there anything too hard for me? The angel wrestles with Jacob. He says, what is your name? Jacob says, it's Jacob. He says, you are a supplanter, deceiver of the past. Now your name is going to be changed to Israel, the one who wrestled with God. Hallelujah. The Prince of God. Amen. He asks Ezekiel, he says, can these bones live? Ezekiel says, thou knowest. God says, well, prophesy to them. Prophesy to them. Amen. Yes. It's time to prophesy to your life, man. Yes. Prophesy to your future. Prophesy to your children. Prophesy to your circumstances and your situations. Tell the dead things they shall live. Hallelujah. Bring things to life with the word of prophecy. Are you here tonight? Are you here this morning? Sorry, they say the preachers are the only ones who don't know the difference between morning and night. Amen. So yeah, we find God asking these questions and it brings you into courageous lifestyle. Five times in chapter 1 of Joshua, God tells Joshua, he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. He says, I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Come on, give the Lord a hand this morning. Come on, let you excited about it. Hallelujah. Be strong and courageous. We are concluding right now. We're looking at the time. Amen. Can I just quickly say to you, before I give my wife, is that Jacob sowed deceit. And he sowed deceit and he sowed deceit. And when Joseph was sold by his brothers, Jacob was puzzled. He couldn't understand what happened. And I was actually so amazed when in the week I looked at my wife's notes and she says, how can brothers be so deceitful? The trickster was tricked by his own methods, that they sell their own brother and they don't tell the father, they hide it from him. That when Joseph started to go through what he went through, how much pain did that bring to him first of all? What did he live with for the next 15 years? But the other question is, the coat he gives Joseph. Oh man, what a coat it was. We just know it was a coat on the external, right? We know it was a coat of many colors. And people know, there's even a country song that says, my mama gave me a coat of many colors. But the coat of many colors, according to Dr. Mark Sharona, he says it was an animal skin that had a special material called raisin on the inside. It'll keep you warm in the winter and it'll keep you cool in the summer. But it was a spiritual mantle. It was a mantle that was placed on Joseph to protect his heart from bitterness, from offenses, from adverse circumstances, from the wrong spirit, from giving up when God is still giving you life. Amen. When God is still there for you, don't give up. Amen. Don't turn back like the Ephraimites. When God is with you, just keep moving forward. Hallelujah. Yes, Joyce Meyer says, keep walking. Keep walking while the devil is talking. Come on, tell somebody next to you, keep walking. Tell someone next to you, keep walking.
Ephraim was faced with a situation. We know they were armed to the teeth. for this situation. But what does please God is that they turn back in the midst of their battle. God knows a battle is not easy for us. And that is why God names us by his own name. You see, Ephraim's name means fruitful. His father said, because God had made me fruitful in my affliction, in the land of my sufferings. That is what Joseph named him. He prophesied to Ephraim that you are fruitful. So Ephraim had this covenant name. But somehow Ephraim had forgotten. We actually read here that they refused. It was a choice they made. What name do you answer to? Do you answer to pain? Do you answer to anger? Or do you answer when God says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Do you answer to the name that God calls you? If you are sick, do you answer to sick or do you answer to I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus? If you are depressed, do you answer to my mind is too busy, there's things going on that I cannot get out of me? Or do you answer that the same Isaiah 53, that Jesus was pierced for my peace? You see, depression wants to take away your peace from you. It wants to tell you that you are hopeless. Not the situation. It tells you the situation is hopeless, but it's actually getting to you to tell you, you are hopeless. You are unfruitful. You are unproductive. See how long you served God. And what do you have to show for it? We have the covenant to show for it. Because if God does not show up today, God will show up. God didn't show up. The Bible says Abram went to sleep with some of the promises not fulfilled to him yet. But it's fulfilled in his generations. Those promises are fulfilled in us. Do you know that when Jacob crossed his arms, he was prophesying about us? Because Israel, God's people, are his firstborn. And we as the Gentiles are the secondborn. But God crossed his arms and God blessed us with a double portion. What are we going to do with that double portion? You see, going to rehab was not defeat. It was the beginning of my victory.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Because even Jesus, when Goliath, when he dared the Israelites, do you know where Goliath stood? He stood on a plain in Judah. And do you know what Judah means? Praise. He stood on the place of the praises of the people of the Lord. And David said to him, you uncircumcised Philistine, you uncovenanted thing, standing on my place of praise.
Yes.
Do not let the enemy stand on your place of praise.
Yes.
In your children.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Do not let the enemy tell you that your daughter or your son can only learn so far. Do not let the enemy tell you that, oh, it's okay, just leave him, just leave him. No, he's not your son, he's my son, and he's God's son. They are my daughters. You are not going to destroy this family, Satan.
Yes.
You have tried, and you have tried, but you have failed.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Because even when I had nothing left, I had everything that I needed.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Be still and know that I am God.
Yes,
do
Lord
not
Jesus.
Turn back in a day of battle.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
It doesn't matter how hard it gets. I'm telling you, someone is praying for you. This
yes.
house was praying for me.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
You don't need to make it in your own strength.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.